23.
In my 60s, my wife and I took all the trips we should have taken when we were younger.
Charles wasn't exactly bothered by Tithe's death per se. What the words did, however, was remind him of all the people close to him that had died over the years. Real people that weren't computer programs. A real sadness threatened to overwhelm him as he stood there staring into the slightly transparent eyes of the ghostly woman. But anyone who has been deeply hurt, or is deeply hurting, would understand that in many ways, anger serves as a cover for grief. Which is why Charles swiftly responded by thwacking her with his stick.
"You idiot!"
he cursed, and then thwacked her again. Maybe the ghost had the right to self-defense, maybe Charles had planned on sending Titha away so she would stop bothering him, after he had a rocking chair, of course. But at that moment, the ultimate reality that felt like a kick in the gut to Charles was he neither had pillows and a blanket for the bed, nor dinner to be eaten.
"That just ain't right."
With cries of pain, the banshee escaped by floating through the shiny new floor. This left Charles alone, heaving deep breaths. After he calmed down, he looked around the new cabin and realized there was a bright side to his plight. It was, to him, blessedly quiet. Charles looked outside, and the fading sunlight was the perfect confirmation that it was a good bedtime. When Charles awoke, it was to the sounds of commotion. He heard a loud male voice talking in a near-military cadence, a strong voice that seemed to penetrate the walls themselves, a voice that was heard at the entirely wrong time for Charles, because he was still tired. With stiff arms and legs, he slowly made his way out of the cabin to see who was yelling, only to find that outside, just at the edge of the clearing, were six strangers. A man dressed as a knight with an enormous shield stood with his back to Charles and berated a line of four adventurers. The adventurers wore what Charles recognized as starting clothes issued by the Adventurers Guild. Behind that line stood a mage, happily nodding along to everything the knight said.
"And that's why you maggots don't deserve to join the Sun Stripes. We are the penultimate guild in Helios, rated number one in raids, and—"
His spiel was cut off awkwardly when Charles tapped him on the shoulder.
"Young man, could you keep it down? Some folks are trying to sleep,"
Charles asked nicely.
"I should bonk him on the head for making all this racket, but then who's going to make me a rocking chair?"
The man seemed startled, but reacted calmly.
"I'm sorry, honored elder, for disturbing your sleep. How can we help you?"
he asked, in a way that seemed like he knew the words by heart. Charles rubbed his chin and pretended to think, before raising a finger in the air.
"Young man, I think I could use breakfast and a rocking chair for my new cabin. Do you think you could help?"
Charles mentally nodded to himself.
"I'm getting good at this."
However, the reaction he got wasn't what he was expecting.
"New cabin? You mean that cabin?"
The knight pointed at the cabin behind Charles and continued with his asinine questions.
"What makes you think that's your cabin? That's on Sunstripe lands, and it's got a Sunstripe dungeon sitting underneath it. If you want to live here, then you'll need to pay us taxes."
A sudden metallic cracking sound of a stick against a helmet interrupted the knight this time.
"I knew I should have bonked him first. I've paid enough taxes during my life. I'll be damned if I pay taxes in a game. Now let's try this again."
Charles walked to one of the adventurers standing in line and asked,
"Young lady, I think I could use breakfast and a rocking—"
But Charles didn't get his question finished before he heard a scream from the wizard.
"What the hell, man?"
The wizard was livid and continued to express his unhappiness with the treatment Charles had given the knight by pointing some kind of fancy walking stick at Charles and shouting,
"Fireball! Fireball! Fireball!"
"Oh, it's a wizard's staff."
Three large balls of fire shot from the tip of the staff and arced through the air towards Charles before crashing into him and knocking him back several yards. In seconds, the fires disappeared, leaving Charles standing perfectly fine inside a ring of burnt grass.
"Young man,"
he said, while doing his best calm but angry, threatening father's face,
"I haven't had breakfast yet."
Fireball! Fireball! Fireball!
The wizard shot at him again, but Charles knew what to expect this time. Although, truthfully, knowing what to expect didn't change the outcome in the slightest from the last time. What it did change was Charles's willingness to give the wizard a piece of his mind. He no longer felt the need to do so before knocking the young man around a little. Which is why his angry walk out of the flames with his stick in hand should have triggered some kind of understanding in the wizard. But it unfortunately didn't. If it had, Charles would not have had to endure 6 more fireballs before he was close enough to get a good smack in. The whole event ended with several burn marks in the grass, 4 fleeing adventurers and 2 unconscious ones, and a very hangry old man.